Hey everyone, welcome to Radio MLS. It's an action-packed show this evening. I am, of course, as always, joined by my friend, the man who is playing the clarion bell, singing a song about the end of Nigel De Jong leaving the Los Angeles Galaxy. Matt, I don't think there was any bitter feelings with him leaving. Were there in Portland?
Honestly, people are just more upset about the way it was handled by the league. That video that's now been taken down, but nothing stays hidden on the internet.
No.
So people have seen that, and we talked before the show. You saw it too. Like, what a ridiculous like wow! I've never seen I don't even think I've ever seen like a team put out a snuff piece on a player that left. You'll see fan-made videos of, like this player traded us or whatever. But you don't see the team do it, let alone an entire league. And I get it. Like, MLS Digital is not the same as MLS. They're different entities. One's the league, one's the digital, like, kind of propaganda division. But, God, what a hatchet job on the dude. I've always thought their commentary is pretty cool, pretty good. They always brought up good stuff, but like this idea that somehow it's a failure because he didn't have any goals or assists, and yeah, I get it, okay. You're a deep line midfielder, you might not have like goals, but yeah, maybe you should have some assists, but that really kind of wasn't his role. I mean, he was a midfield destroyer. Maybe it's a poor choice of words, but it just felt so amateurish and not professional.
Well, the MLS corporate offices and MLS Digital, I mean, they are literally separated by, like, one hallway. I mean, MLS corporate, they have Coke and Pepsi products. Just Pepsi products. And then the digital...
No, they're Coke now.
Oh, they're Coke, okay. Well, and then MLS Digital, they have Shasta. I mean, it's horrible. Yeah. One likes donut shop coffee from Keurig machine. The other one likes hazelnuts. Oil and water. Biggie and Tupac, it's all completely thing. Oh, go for NYCFC!
Oh my God, I was just thinking, are they going to regret not putting on Julian and not putting on a defensive player? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, they lost possession, and oh my God, no doubt about that. And of course, who other? Who else?
David Villa. By the way, for those listening at home, we're actually watching the NYCFC DC United match, so you all can probably figure out when this thing is being recorded, but from time to time, we like to do a little live match commentary. Nice through ball to David Villa. Went through the nutmegged Bill Hamid. But
wow, bad pass, bad pass. I mean, that was bad pass. David Villa, obviously very opportunistic. He picked a spot perfectly there. But what a bad giveaway and just another goal. I mean, and now that with Giovinco out. I really feel like the golden boot is Villa's to win.
Oh, yes. And if NYCFC finishes at the top of the Eastern Conference, I mean, this is really – I mean, he's going to win the MVP.
Oh, I can't see it not going to Giovinco.
Even if he misses the last 4 weeks of the season and Villa has, like, this, like, turn of form. Plus, you know that they want to give the MVP to somebody at NYCFC. Like – I mean, I'm going to play conspiracy theorist here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is supposedly one of the bigger teams in MLS. And, I mean, if you look at some of the players on the roster, they certainly act that way. By the way, this field is tiny.
No, it's tiny. It's a stamp.
This might have been the second or third match I've ever really watched at New York. And, I mean, it's not as bad as that for the
New York
match I had to play in.
You knew that was coming, though. You knew that reference was coming.
Also, who are these guys sitting behind the, the little,
the placards?
The placards. Like, yeah. How much are those tickets? And also...
Are they actually sitting down, or are they just people just hanging out, standing there? I think they're all standing. Are they sitting? They look like they're just kind of just standing.
Are they kind of, like, sitting... Like, maybe they're, like... There's, like, a little, booth thing where they can kind of just lean over... like you see at a bar where you just place your beer on it and you just kind of hunch over.
Oh man, another bad giveaway. Oh my, are you kidding me? Oh wow,
Jack Harris, the future of the English national team, full glory.
I think before this has happened, what an amazing road win for DC United. The fact that they got Lloyd Sam, and how just. If I'm a GM, I do not want to ever make a trade with DC United because just look foolish. Like Chris Rolfe, Patrick Mullins, and now Lloyd Sam. But and now I'm in the nerves. Hey, you went on the road, got a point. So
Bobby Boswell, Sean Franklin, Kofi Apari, they are literally Team MLS. They do not do well, particularly on the international signings, so they really invest a lot of time and effort into just getting MLS products. By the way...
Whoa. Were you going to say Acosta is not a good signing?
It's taken them a while to really get adjusted to their system. By the way, they... 6 goals on Saturday night.
Against a shorthanded Chicago Fire team.
Well, they're shorthanded because the dude threw a ball at the player on the ground. I mean, he had a little bit of a mental lapse right there.
Yeah, that was really stupid. Yeah, you. Well, yeah. Can you walk us through that? I mean, we haven't really talked since Saturday. Like, what happened there? I mean, did it feel like the guy was milking it? Did he feel like that he went down a little too softly?
Yeah, that's with my impression. He didn't obviously speak after the game, and Paunovic, the coach of Chicago Fire, really was pretty brief on what he thought about it. He didn't really give an indication whether he thought it was a just foul or not. I'm assuming he probably did.
I mean, that's the funny thing. It's like he kind of got to back up your player, but at the same time, he threw a ball.
Yeah, he kind of acted like I'd say an idiot on that one. But, I mean, even before then, DC was controlling the match. And, I mean, they really were able to just dictate the pace of the game. Costa has been working very well with Mullins. And they
but then again, consider the opponent. Before 2 weeks ago, the Chicago Fire had before they won in Montreal, Chivas USA had won a road game more recently than Chicago Fire had.
Oh, jeez. There's our Chivas reference. And drink. I mean, they've only given up 40 goals this season. They're not an awful defense. It's just they're not a particularly good one. But DC has been a terrible attacking team. They've only, prior to Saturday night, they only scored 26 goals. Adding 6 added it, like, increased it by 30%, which is just absolutely astounding. Oh, second goal for New York City FC, and it is Mr. Frankie Lampard. And he gets his 300th goal, though.
He just picks it right up, right off of DVS Fed and just sits at home.
Although, we should mention that he has not scored 300 goals in MLS. this composite probably includes games in, like, the International Champions Cup, competitions that you and I don't even know about, scoring on his children, there's a whole... Right. He's raising the salute to the NYCFC supporters. Well, that's nice of him.
Yeah, well, it's been a long time getting him here, I think he's happy that he can actually bring something. Remember when he got on the field this year? I mean, fans were indifferent. I think there are more boos and cheers when he made his first appearance.
I'm counting the number of non-NYCFC and international team jerseys I'm seeing in the stands here. Oh, there's an Aston Villa jersey. Who's that?
Wow. That's a deep dumpster dive there.
What do you think about
just look at that build up. I mean, where's the pressure? And De Leon did well to get in front of him, but
De Leon is.
I can't blame De Leon for that, really. I mean, and 20, who's 20? He kind of poked the ball away, but it just wasn't enough. And I guess if you can clear it, trying to poke the ball away is a good thing.
Well, they got 4 minutes and some change. Let's see if they can do it. They lost the game last year, I think, to NYCFC in the closing minutes. And Frank Lampard's upset about something. Oh, I'm sorry. We're supposed to continue praising you. My mistake.
Has the narrative changed now about Vieira?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all liked him coming in here, but we kind of thought, well, you're a company guy. I did not have NYCFC making the playoffs. I had them finishing below Orlando. I don't know what to say. I mean, I did not expect this team to do nearly as well as they did. Everything came together. What were we wrong about? If you had to pinpoint one thing,
that Lampard was interested in playing. I mean, that Pirlo really was going to be able to put an effort in. And I'd say a little bit on their defense, too. It's been much improved this season. RJ Allen was having a really good run, I think, before he got injured. Yeah. And, you know, people give Josh Saunders a lot of crap, but he's actually a pretty, I'd say a pretty, like, decent goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think a lot of their smaller pieces have really stepped up. But then also, you know, they've kind of cleared out a lot of people, too. It's, mixed, you'll notice we don't see much mixed discord these days.
That's, yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, is he even in the 18 today? I'm curious. You know, and I think what's interesting, too, is, like, this is the second consecutive year in a row, I feel like, where you have impact player with the number one pick. You know, they gave up, you know, not a whole lot. He gave up enough to Chicago to the first pick, and he's delivered. I mean, he's hasn't led the scheme scoring, but, I mean, he's, you know, Harrison picked up a Player of the Week, you know, award at one point, and he's playing well. And Tommy Mack, of course, you know, I think he's a very good player as well.
Jack Harrison's been pretty good, too. I think that they've had a really, yeah. I don't know, they just found the right form, and Vieira's a pretty, from what I understand, he's a really disciplined coach. He's grounded, mm-hmm. and he probably got the respect of some of the top-level players, and that you can draw your own conclusions on what that meant for Jason Christ. I mean, it's a, you know, MLS coach and a bunch of top-level players. I mean, I'm just going to – I don't have any sort of inside information here, but there has to be a central theme to all this, and that would be one of them, eh?
Yeah, we thought they were so stupid. Ditching Christ, you know, like all of a sudden he couldn't coach. What, you know, and bringing in a guy who's, you know, we always talk about the former managers, how they can't succeed in Major League Soccer. You know, and I don't know if he's the exception or maybe the game changed. He's only Mixed Siskiyou has only appeared in 12 games this season.
I wonder if he has Yankee baseball hats.
His last appearance was he started. At a 3-2 loss against RSL in June 2nd.
What do you think?
So that's a span of 1, 2, 3, 4, let's say 10 games.
What are your thoughts on their nicknames, the Pigeons?
I'm so happy. That was actually one of my, like, when I did my, you know, 10 crazy predictions for the NFL for the last season. You know, that we would actually finally get a nickname for NYCFC other than NYCFC. So, I'll take it. I don't understand it, but I'll take it.
Well, there's lots of pigeons in New York City. Maybe that's why. I don't know. It was something to do with a practice video, I think, too, if I recall.
Oh, is this with the, like, with the Galaxy player who kicked a ball on the pigeon or something at Yankee Stadium?
Oh, second goal for DC United!
Oh, my God.
And it's everyone's favorite player, Marcello. And Josh Saunders, we're taking back everything we said about you.
Well, 5 minutes of stoppage time, though.
Uh-oh, what will happen?
I mean, wow, I don't know, man. I don't... 5 minutes, that's a lot of time.
Who's... There's like, basically a pitch. He's just kind of chilling there in his pink shirt.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? How you doing? How you doing?
So, Matt, there's other things going on in MLS right now. Big weekend, Timbers, Sounders. What were your thoughts on the game?
What was my thoughts?
Yes.
Oh, well, two halves. I mean, Timbers came out in the first half and completely dominated. And that urgency was just not there in the second half. I was impressed by the just the marking that Chara and did in the first half against Ladero. But, you know, most in the second half, they weren't on as tight. And I don't know if it was conscious. They kind of thought, hey, you know what, less legs, or if he, you know, wasn't himself in dangerous situations or not. I don't think that's the case at all. But, you know, they scored almost immediately. Seattle did. Then they got that second goal. And they kind of decided to preserve their legs at about the 65th minute or so. But, you know, they could have easily got that second. I mean, they could have easily, but if they could have easily gotten, they would have done it. But I mean, they were knocking on that goal number three. And that would have totally changed the game. And it's always kind of funny because afterwards, like, you know, Caleb's like, well, I'm glad he didn't necessarily say this, but, you know, I'm glad that they scored the other two goals because it made like a more, you know, it showed how mentally prepared we are, which, you know, as your coach, whatever happens, that's the outcome you wanted. As long as you win, that's the outcome you wanted. Ooh, did you see that swing? Did Billy just take a swing at him?
I think he did. What you can't that? Take against the Chipotle homegrown player, Jalen Robinson. He's the future. He's the hungry future of MLS right there. And that can only be stated by a quality defender and a delicious burrito.
Mm.
Oh, Swiss cheese defended goal, NYCFC.
Oh, my God. That,
Frank Lampard.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wow. And he just kicks the ball. If you kick the ball in the crowd, do you, oh, my God, he looks like he's going to get himself in a celebration. Oh, wow, wow, wow.
There's a lot of things going on in the plays right there.
Wow. I am looking forward to hearing audio, post-game audio of this.
Yes, Ben Olsen's probably going to have a few choice quotes, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Wow. So, I mean, and the people that did the scoring are the people, you know, they're your designated players. Mm-hmm. So, bully for you, NYCFC.
There's no, like,
go Pigeons.
Go Pigeons. Fly, Pigeons, fly. Bill Hamid is not enthused about this. Are we going to see a replay at all? Yeah. No? Okay. That's fair. Who wants replays of, like, the last 30 seconds? Ah, here we go. We had to get the ball graphic. No Star Wars. Sorry.
Oh.
Aaron Robinson got schooled on that one.
Wow. Just two guys and just, yep. That was, wow. You know, takes a touch and then just uncorks. And that was.
Here comes United again. Frank Lampard putting his hands up in the air. I don't know why. He's probably looking at Nick DeLand's. Very interesting.
You know, I find that really interesting because when Lampard came back, I think maybe the second or third game, there was a graphic of him, you know, getting yelled at by Villa for not getting in position. So to see him now kind of be the one ordering people in position, I kind of get the feeling that, you know, it's, I want to say necessarily it's Lampard's team, but I think his stake in the team has grown. I think that's pretty demonstrative of that.
Oh, sure. I think that that's definitely true. And, you know, maybe perhaps he did have a lot of injuries last year. We saw Bill Hamid go out on a corner kick. That's interesting. And that's the game. NYCFC, you're,
Oh, yeah.
Well, DC, I mean, play hard. That's good.
You know,
they're not exactly, you know, top of the East.
You know, and this, it came down to the end, man. It came down to the final 15 minutes. I mean, you know, I mean, look, I love scoring, but, you know, teams played hard. You know, they found their moments. They scattered each other, and, you know, that lasted a pretty blistering last 15 minutes.
Yeah. If anybody gets a chance to be able to watch it, I would strongly suggest you do it on MLSsoccer.com. Yeah. We don't actually get, like, any advertising from him. It's just that's the only place I know you can be able to watch it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk some stuff going on around the league, Matt. Transfer deadline time.
Yeah.
David Combs stayed with Chicago. Dom Dwyer staying in Sporting Kansas City. No other really big moves going on, but...
Yeah. Well, they were able to secure Rubio, as Sporting Kansas City was able to secure Rubio.
And he's talking about Rubio, not Rufio, the little kid from Hook.
So, you know, interesting to see what happens there. It does seem that, you know, Sporting's always trying to find some striker to kind of, you know, help support Dwyer, but it does feel like they are utterly dependent on Dwyer to make that things go. I mean, Peterson's kind of helped for, he had a little bit of a bump this summer, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. But that team just, you know, that's the problem. It's like they're tough, they're aggressive, but they just can't get the goals.
I think just having Dwyer by themselves is not. It really makes it difficult for them to be able to do it. I think that they undervalue Christian Nemeth a little bit, and it's coming back to bite him a little bit. Let's see here. What else?
I don't think they wanted him to go.
You don't think so? It's just that the Qatari team offered them offered him a truck ton of money.
Yeah, and you know the truth of the matter is. You know, once you've got a player's head turned, you know, good luck.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, too, is that, I mean, once you get the chance to play in the Qatari Stars League, I mean, it's all completely...
Well, You know, and there's all sorts of financial things that we don't know about. You know, one of the things I learned in the recent weeks was the because Nigeria and the United States don't have a tax amnesty clause, Obafemi Martins was paying, you know, double, even triple on his taxes because of that. But because they do have a clause with China, he's not only making more money, but he's keeping more of his money. So things like taxation, that affects things. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, one of the things talked about in Once in a Lifetime was Pele's deal and how a lot of the, you know, a lot of it wasn't taxes and how they got around tax loopholes. So that is something to consider about, you know, when you come to the United States to play in Major League Soccer is the tax implications.
So here's some interesting stats about Nigel De Jong. 18 games plays, passing percentage 87%, 23 tackles won. Tackle percentage 82%, duels 169, 40 interceptions. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Ooh, and fan base is enraged. At least two.
Who was the other one?
They didn't really mention the white caps for the Perez tackle. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, he's an aggressive tackler.
Yes, he.
That kind of comes with the territory. Outside of Seattle, people hate Oswaldo, Alonso, but he's beloved in Seattle. Same with Diego Chara in Portland.
We like to call him Ozzy around these parts. It's just any chance you get to call somebody Ozzy, it should always be taken. By the way, did you catch any of the crazy like Toronto FC Montreal match this weekend?
Wow, you're talking about the game, not the because like their developmental teams had a huge role too.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I forgot the exact name, but yeah, the Toronto and the Montreal teams had a pretty big fight between them. Yeah, and there's no love lost between these teams on either side. That and they made the right call on getting Malice, you know, getting that card there, but you know, how about Montreal? That's a huge win for them. Their season was just starting to slip away. You know, not only did they lose at home to Chicago, it wasn't like they lost a last second goal.
No.
They lost, they got killed. I mean, they got a 3-0 is, you know, that's a butt whooping. At home by Chicago, a team that hadn't won, you know, in over 2 years. So that was a pretty severe, and they weren't really playing that well. So now they had to go to Toronto. Toronto was, you know, however briefly, on top of the East, and had been playing better soccer than anyone else in the league. I think they won, was it six consecutive games? I mean, a ridiculous tear. You don't win six consecutive games, not in this league. But they are doing that. And they're playing great. Will Johnson came back in, assist. But, you know, in this game here, I mean, bully for Montreal keeping the clean sheet. But, you know, and Piotti found that goal. I mean, it wasn't the prettiest goal ever made, but, I mean, I think as far as leverage, I actually gave him the player of the week just because of that. You know, it wasn't, you know, he didn't have the numbers that Mullins put up. He didn't have the leverage sort of things that Jura put up. Jura did have two goals. Jura also got away with had some pretty questionable calls. I think did he get a yellow card for embellishment or should he have? I forget exactly.
I think he did. We'll go with it.
Yeah. But he did draw a penalty, and that was a pretty weak call. And as Rasheed Wallace would say, ball don't lie, because they missed that penalty. In fact, so they missed a penalty, and then Tim Howard saved the other penalty. So what's that like? If you're a defender and you're playing for Colorado, what's that say to you? If you're a defender, that your goalkeeper is world-class, and he can block and stop penalty shots, because that just doesn't happen very often.
No, definitely. Any thoughts on San Jose Earthquakes dropping their general manager John Doyle after 10 years?
I was really surprised. The thing that surprised me the most was Dominic Kinnear's response, that he was surprised. So that either tells me he's lying or he's not as connected as we thought, because I really thought when Kinnear came on that, you know, he came in there and he expected to get an awful lot of power. So, you know, for him to be surprised, that does surprise me.
I look at that team and only scoring 26 goals. That is just not. I mean, given the level of firepower that they have up top and the, you were talking about hatchet job. that Tommy Thompson has still not had really been able to break out. Yeah. I mean, that's just... Yeah. He must have done something really bad in practice. I mean...
Well, we know Kinnear likes veterans, you know, and as most MLS coaches, there's probably no MLS coach that's ever going to be hired. They're all going to say, I'm going to bring aggressive attacking soccer and I'm going to play the kids. They all play conservative defenses and they all rely on veterans.
Yep.
The two biggest lies that MLS coaches tell. But yeah, I wonder. Okay, I'm just going to posit a theory out there. So, as you mentioned, San Jose is not exactly lighting scoreboards on fire, a la Columbus. So then they had a transfer window, and not really a lot happened.
No.
In fact, there seemed to be very little happening on San Jose's point of view.
And I wonder if this Matias Perez Garcia, they shipped him off to Orlando, mm-hmm. but I don't think they picked anybody up.
I think they might have picked up another player or something like that. I think they got like a number, a fox in a box sort of striker. But yeah, and it's not like these teams that are like kind of acquiring, like, you know, Chicago's not doing anything this year, but they've accepted that. And they're acquiring allocation money. They're every trade, they're giving up something. I mean, Bedoya, they got something out of that trade just by changing the allocation order. So they're acquiring assets. They're building their academy. I'm not sure what San Jose is doing. They got a new stadium. I think that they're seeing the numbers kind of decrease and felt they had to do something. They can't fire Kinnear, and they can't, you can't fire everyone on the team. So here's someone you can't fire. Look, we're making changes. Look, we fired Salmon.
Well, I think that also, I mean, 10 years is a long time. And
yeah.
They really haven't exactly made any sort of inroads. Interesting piece that came up on Pros this week was that thought of Oguchi Onyewu signing with the New England Revolution. I'm not exactly opposed to it, considering how terrible their defense has been. Mm-hmm. But the guy's only played 2 games in the past 2 years. That's I mean, that's quite a bit of time right there. But, I mean, if you're New England, is it like, I guess that's just the move to be that's just a short-term move, right?
Do you think this is like a look at us, we're relevant?
Yeah.
I'm looking up, I can almost guarantee, I haven't really read much about this, but I can almost guarantee Heaps is talking about experience. What is all the experience he brings us? Even if he doesn't play us on the field, he's going to bring experience. He's bringing a mindset up. He's going to bring a mindset of a winner's mentality. These things write themselves.
Okay, so San Jose has picked up Darwin Serrin in early August, who was part of the Perez Garcia trade. And then Hanok Goitom, who I think he's Panamanian, but I could be completely wrong on this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Simon Dawkins is a designated player.
Simon, he hasn't really exactly come back in like full swing, although he was pretty good in that game where they were down by 2 players against Toronto and helped and actually somehow and probably won.
Yeah. Yeah, that's their thing. Like San Jose is like that. They did that at the beginning of last season with Innocent Imagera. They were down and they won in Seattle. Then he got hurt and I think he's healthy now. Mm-hmm. But like I don't know when he was last played.
So yeah, I don't know what's going on with San Jose, and New England kind of seems like they're in the same territory. They're just really just stalling and. It's kind of sad because we were looking at that team a couple years ago with all the younger players, and they were going to be able to make a serious move, but doesn't look like it's going to happen. What are your thoughts on Philadelphia 2 over against Sporting with all their new pieces? It looks like everything's gelling together pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it's cool too because it's like they've been playing so well, the Union have this year. And Bedoya really brings a lot of things that team's been kind of lacking. So, that's really cool what he's brought. Innocent Imagera played 12 minutes on June 18th. That is the only time he's played since the beginning of May.
Oof.
not good.
Yeah, so that's not good. That is your designated striker. Wow. Yeah.
All the talk of Chris Wondolowski conquering Landon Donovan's record. That's kind of gotten a little more silent recently.
Yeah, there's no one else that, you know. Quincy Mariquois had, you know, he did pretty well when he brought over the ladder last year, but you know he's not, you know, his form's okay, but there just isn't much going on there, and it's just it feels like they're stuck, and you're not quite sure what they need to do. I mean, that's the great thing about Major League Soccer, though, is look at Seattle. I mean, where were they a month ago? You know, you go in the summer transfer when you find a, you know, game changer like Ladero, and now they're one of the hottest teams in Major League Soccer, this weekend's result notwithstanding.
Mm. And I think that it's a, I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. I was trying to think about this for a second I was just thinking about Philadelphia. Roland Allberg, have you heard much about him?
He was player of the week a few weeks ago. Well, I guess a couple months ago. You know, winner. Yeah. He's had some, you know, some moments of brilliance, some moments where he got, you know, looked a little flat-footed. But, you know, I love their wings and their wing play and how they create space and just the not is it isn't that dynamicism work? Dynamicism.
Oh, we'll get...
they're dynamic.
Where's our pocket thesaurus when we have it? Here's a lesson to all you journalist majors out there. Always have a thesaurus on you because you want to use like really big, flowery, colloquial terms to be able to make yourself sound smarter.
I don't even know what you just said, but those are impressive terms.
Oh, you know, I'm just going to... It's a very Cromwellian term here. No, sorry, that's my only Simpsons reference for the night. Well, Matt... It wouldn't be any sort of MLS week if we didn't have some international friendlies mixed in World Cup qualification. And, of course, the big one, although it's interestingly enough that they'll be playing on a very small island, is tomorrow is on Friday when St. Vincent and the Grenadines takes on the United States. Should win this, right?
yes. Oh, by the way, did you read that article on Stars and Stripes FC where Sasha Kleshton thought that the call was a prank? The call up was a prank. he saw the phone number was a 949 area code. So 949 is, you know, that's SoCal. That's like Orange County, which is where he grew up. He grew up, I think he grew up in Huntington Beach, but also happens to be where, you know, Jurgen lives. So when he got the voicemail there, he saw the number 949. He thought, this is one of my brother's buddies or something, you know, calling me, you know, cause he got things like, we'd like to, you know, be part of the call up, blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was a pretty funny story. And by the way, congratulations to Sasha getting the call.
He's gonna have a hell of a
former Chiefs USA.
Yeah,
great.
He's gonna have a hell of a chance on Friday too, because without Michael Bradley playing in center mid, that's probably where they're gonna slot him in, even if it's just as a second half. And I mean, he's, you know, he's still in his prime.
He's playing fantastic.
He's been playing fantastic for the Red Bulls, and he would be an immediate provide immediate difference maker for this team. Look, I mean, so here's the way the situation rolls out: is that the United States has to win. If they don't win against St. Vincent and the Grenadines, we're in bad trouble. Other result is that they will need if they can win, and if Trinidad and Tobago can get a result against Guatemala, then they're through. If Guatemala beats Trinidad and Tobago, then we go to Tuesday night playing in Jacksonville, which I would like to say I love. The good people of Jacksonville, the Armada is a great team. I love that all their players come out of a giant octopus, but why are we having a men's national team game in Jacksonville? Like,
I think it's fantastic.
You like it?
Yeah.
What? We have to agree on everything, though.
you know, I think soccer is something that I don't think this is true for other sports. I think other sports you can watch on TV and be fine. I think football in particular, works really well on TV. Soccer, if all you your only exposure to soccer is watching on TV, you're going to miss so much. It just does not translate. My thing is always about growing the game in the United States, getting more people into the game of soccer. So if that means people in Jacksonville can go there and see a game and then say, hey, you know what? We do have a team here. And, you know, also at this point, too, I'm also kind of really happy to help promote teams that are not MLS teams, because I think the thing that I would my concern would be like, oh, well, this soccer team's not Major League Soccer. They're not top. So therefore, I don't care about it, which has always been the issue about, you know, getting people like soccer in the world it began with anyways, because, you know, Major League Soccer is not the Bundesliga. It's not the Eredivisie. It's not Serie A. It's not even what the league is in Serbia. I don't think so. I don't think we're up at the Serbian level yet. Maybe English Championship, which is still the most confusingly named league in the world, in my humble opinion. So, yeah, I think there's someone's going to be going to their first U.S. men's national team game in Jacksonville, and I hope they catch the bug. And I hope it's because we crushed them.
Okay, well, fair enough. I think that's a very nice, kind, honest way of looking at things.
Now, would I prefer that they're playing in Chester, where they have a beautiful stadium overlooking the water? It's, you know, fantastic facilities? Absolutely. Would it be in Portland? Yes, of
Why
course.
Why don't they play more in
RFK,
Portland?
RFK, not so much.
Hey, we get a game in October.
Yeah, yeah, because you guys play in grass. I don't, I mean, I know it's not just about the grass. Portland got a Gold Cup game a couple years ago.
Belize, where half the players before the game went to the FIFA officials and told them that they were getting, that they had been, like, asked to take a bribe. Anyway.
Wow. Well, you know, after the game against CD Dragon, like, four players and a coach, like, left and defected. If that's what you call it anymore. But basically, like, we're not going back to El Salvador.
Yeah, so what happened with that? Were they in the locker room? They're like, we're not leaving?
I'm not quite sure exactly. I don't know if it's like they did it in the locker room or, like, they snuck out in the middle of the night from their hotel. I don't know. But, yeah, like, when they're at the airport reporting, they're like, yeah, these guys are here. Which, and I'm not quite sure how that works with visas and stuff.
Maybe they applied for asylum? I don't know. Okay, so yeah. Next time we do a podcast, Matt, we'll actually probably get one in before the Trinidad and Tobago game. But next time we talk, do you think U.S. will qualify for the next round of the World Cup?
How many games do they have to win to qualify?
Well, they don't.
Wait, I thought they had to go through qualification. Is this the hex?
Sorry,
or is that
qualify
something
for the next round of the World Cup qualification?
Okay, then they're
yes,
in the hex,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh my God, a CONCACAF just—you hurt my brain so much. Yeah, they have to. I mean, if they don't—I mean, seriously, if they don't, it would be not only stunning, yeah, but it would be devastating. Mm. It would be devastating to Sunil is probably safe, but Klinsmann's out. Has to be.
Yeah, that's a fireable offense if you don't make it to the final round of World Cup qualification. Any players that you're interested in seeing on this over the next two matches, or any like formations that you want to look at, or there's, I guess formation is speculative with Klinsmann because that could be, well, they could do anything.
Well, it's so fluid anyways. There are so many players that I'm looking forward to seeing just for the first time. Caleb Stanko, probably won't see him.
No.
And Paul Areola, yep. I think that's how you say his name. I'm really excited to see these guys. You know, I was spoiled when I lived down in Irvine and I could go to, you know, the StubHub Center, which is also where, you know, the team's headquarters are, and watch the games there. Cause you got to see so many young players. So I'm catching up on guys. I'm not sure also about the goalkeeper, Ethan Horvath. He's with Molde. So we're not going to see these guys, but you know, the idea that they're getting in practice. I'm really, 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 I mean, as far as I can tell, they'll probably put Brooks in on defense at center
Brooks
back.
Brooks is actually not playing. He is.
Brooks
is
not
out
playing.
With an injury.
Oh my goodness gracious me. So I guess that means probably Jeff Cameron and what, Omar?
That's what I was wondering because, I mean,
I mean, Birnbaum hasn't done anything to lose a job either.
No, I would think that... I think that he would go more experimental with the first match, given the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that... I don't know. It's just such a mess. I mean, you would expect them to beat St. Vincent and the Grenadines, but I mean, with the way they played against Guatemala on the road, I mean, you can't take anything for granted. I would go Beasler and Gonzalez. Go with the guys that brought you there to the show the last time, and go with really a veteran heavy lineup and just win. And then if, you know, results go their way, then you can go with an experimental lineup next Tuesday. But I mean, I don't understand the fascination with Tim Howard. Is he having that great of a campaign with the Rapids right now that he still should get a starting position? Or is it that Guzan's been playing that poorly? Or
I my understanding is that they're splitting.
Yeah, so, but still, like, they really should decide on one goalkeeper. And it's just, I don't really understand the flipping and flopping on this. Just go with one. Like, stop, I don't know, stop leading people on, Yergi. But I think the thing, the one player I'm interested to see is, boy, this is going to sound like a broken record, but Jose Altidore.
Well, he's been playing so well lately. So well.
And he's had a really strong campaign with Toronto thus far, and Bobby Wood has been doing quite well for himself in the Bundesliga. So up top, a 4-4-2, I think you'd see the two of them playing with one another.
I mean, how surprised would you be if either there is no – if either they don't have two people up front, or if they go with a 4-2-3-1 that has, you know, I don't know if Altidore can play play in the hole. I kind of feel like he could be up front with Bobby Wood. I can't see how he can do it, but I think you want both those players out there.
That's interesting. I mean, I think that he has played as a holding forward before when we saw him, and he was the most successful back in, 2009 for the Confederations Cup, with having like a Charlie Davies on the outside. And I think you could see something like that being built.
Okay.
By the way, so I guess we're talking about USMNT. Clint Dempsey. This has to be, unfortunately, I feel bad for him. I really do.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, those are scary. Hearts are scary things.
And especially, having, you know, the last time we saw this was with Eddie Johnson. They take this stuff seriously now, and I don't know. I hope that we see him again, but I hope that he makes a decision that is best for his own future. And, you know, it's not the way to go out, but he's had a hell of a career, though, I would say.
Absolutely. I don't think this is the last we've seen of Deuce, but it is scary and should be taken seriously.
Well, and especially, you know, with Seattle kind of not likely to be able to make a serious run at the MLS Cup this year. I mean, barring...
Oh, all you need to do is get the playoffs.
True, but I would put it out there that the likelihood that they're going to win the cup is low. And if I am wrong, feel free to let me know. I'm okay with that.
Oh yeah, I mean, the odds are stacked against them. They have to qualify first.
But you know, but like, yeah. I mean, take your time to get healthy. And I mean, these two matches, barring something completely insane happening, the United States will be qualifying for the next round of the World Cup, for the next round World Cup qualification. Do you have any thoughts on Canada? Do you think that they could be able to pull it off against Honduras?
Yeah, no. I don't know the decision, but not having Will Johnson.
I was waiting for you to say this.
Look, I admit it. I am biased. I am totally in a take for Will Johnson. So, you know, I definitely want to, in my life, I want to see Canada qualify for the World Cup. There's two things I want. I want to see man walk on the moon, and I want to see Canada qualify for the World Cup. the Man on the Moon part might happen first.
I would like to see Man walk on the moon as well. I'd also like to see a reunion of Led Zeppelin. And didn't that happen?
Like with Zombie Bonham?
Well, doesn't John Bonham?
They did. I mean, there was a reunion with Bonham's son playing.
Yeah,
on
but
drums.
That was like for like the famous music producer.
Yeah, it's like awards.
Yeah. I'd also like to see the return of the McRib.
Oh, the McRib is served year round in Germany.
Well, when I go to Germany, we can have that. I don't know what else I want to do. That's an interesting question. What are the things we'd like to see?
I think we should also tell people here that, yes, we are aware that man has walked on the moon. It just hasn't happened in our lifetime.
Listen, don't you tell that to the pro-rail for USA people. That conspiracy theory, it goes to the top. There's a reason why the U.S. soccer uses a pyramid. It's clearly a sign that the Illuminati... coupled with the werewolf people, are not allowing teams to be able to like to move up and down the U.S. soccer system, and are clearly hiding an agenda to be able to propagate this thing that we've already gone on the moon.
Well, thank God this mic has a mute button.
Well, look, I think that it's...
Yeah.
I hope that Canada goes through. The last time they played at San Pedro Sula, they got ripped to bits. All they need is a result there tomorrow, but that's going to be a difficult climb for them. I don't know if they have – I mean, Honduras is still a very talented side with a lot of depth. And –
there's a lot of death.
I hate that word. It's like the PH, but it's an F. Like, by the way, can we ever like talk about? Can we just get rid of silent letters? Like, what's the point of having them if they're not actually like being pronounced?
You're like trying to kill out the French language.
I know. The journalist in me is like, oh, what's wrong with you, Sean? Come on here.
Yeah. You want to know something funny? Totally changing the subject here. The person who has the fifth most shots, just total shots in MLS this year, is Diego Valeri, the Portland Timbers. He has 86 shots.
Wow.
Okay. Fourth is Kai Kamara. He has 91 shots. He's tied with Dom Dwyer at 91. So 86, 91, right? Number two is David Villa with 133 shots.
Wow.
So he's got 40 more than numbers three and four, and 30 more than him, Sebastian Giovinco.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like so many more. It's ridiculous.
Good news for Canada. They're back to their quality unattached players on their national team. You know, it's always great that they're bringing in guys who aren't actually like assigned to a squad. But, Matt, that's all I really got for today. Do you have what else do you want to talk about?
One last thing here. Keegan Rosemary was a member of the Philadelphia Academy. They could not qualify him for homegrown status, so they had to burn a draft pick on him. That's turned out to be a great thing. He has been totally solid. He has been a veteran presence there. And one of the reasons that team has been so good is the overlapping width of the fullbacks. So, you know, that was a kind of a risky decision, but also for me, it's cool because I like to see academies that produce talent, because it does feel like the best players are the ones that are being developed overseas. So seeing someone develop in the United States, playing a key role on this team, that's fantastic news. So keep up the good work.
Agreed with you on that. Had a chance to watch him at an Open Cup match earlier this summer. He looks like he's going to be the real deal, and I would suspect that we'll see him in January during the camp. Is it Camp Fantastic? Camp Cupcake? Camp?
I think it's Camp Cupcake.
Camp Cupcake. Well, what's like Camp Tangerine, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I think they're naming them after Android versions. So Camp Kit Kat.
Camp Kit Kat. Give me a break. So, folks, well, this has been a fun production. Matt, where can we find you on Twitter? Anything exciting you're working on? What music are you listening to today?
I've been listening to a lot of Suede.
Nice.
Suede and the new pornographers, the old standbys.
You get what you give when you got the music in you. One.
That's a new radical.
Oh, shit.
They did one album and decided, yeah, you know what? We're good. We don't need to make another album.
They didn't
We're
do
done.
That Steal My Sunshine song, did they?
That was Len.
I'm working my way around here. You can find me at Sean Maslin on...
Oh, I'm at M.
He's
Hoff.
He's at M. Hoff. You could propagate to him all your theories on the moon landing and whether or not it was real or not.
Oh, I'd love it. Please.
Feel free
way.
To send me all your pro rel for USA questions, and then we'll tie them together with the Illuminati and all sorts of other fake conspiracies that are going on. You can find me at Sean Maslin. And, yeah, so... Keep listening to Radio MLS. You can find us on Post America, Backpage Football, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, Word of Mouth. If you have a boombox, it's okay that you can play it and record it. We have no problems.
Yeah. Wow. Tell your friends and your mom.
Tell your friends and your mom. If you're looking, wanting to know what's a great drink to have while you listen to our podcast, peppermint tea is always the best. You can also do peppermint schnapps.
Well, I'd like to hear what do you like to listen to? Maybe it might be ether.
Well,
I'm asking our
oh, listeners. I thought you were asking me why is it always about them? What about me? This is all about me. Like there is no I in team, but there is a me. I think that we're running late on things here, folks, so tell us what you're listening to. Matt wants to know so you can be able to create a Radio MLS playlist, which would be fucking awesome, actually.
Oh, my God, yeah. Spotify me, babe. Yeah, let's do this.
And that's it, folks. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the footy this weekend, and keep listening to Radio MLS.